Okay, morning. Today's daf and tomorrow's daf gimel. We leave ourselves off on daf beis and beis. We introduced ourselves to the mesechta yesterday. The idea of the mesechta is very easy, although we'll take the mesechta about a week to basically formulate the idea. On one hand, the Torah says don't do it. On the other hand, the Torah says if you do it, it's okay. Meaning it's not okay, but it's effective. It works. And so starting tomorrow, really the end of today's daf? No, I take it back. At the end of tomorrow's daf. So the end of tomorrow's daf and Dalam Adbeis, the Gemara is going to ask the question, where else do we find this in Halacha? Where the Torah says, don't do something, and then the Torah says, and if you do it, it's effective. Okay, which is Tamur. Tamur is the perfect example, but where else do we find this? And today's Monday? Fine. So Wednesday. So Wednesday we're going to be starting the discussion of the Gemara. It's a lengthy discussion. It's a great discussion. Where else in Halacha do we find this phenomena where the Torah says not to do something, but if you do it, it's still going to be effective? So this is going to be explored on Wednesday. We'll start the discussion on Wednesday. And so it is a great discussion to be had. It is one of the, quote-unquote, more famous discussions in Masechta Temura. Kol milsa de amar rachmana lo sa'aved. When the Torah says not to do something, and nevertheless you do it, and is it or is it not going to be effective? In the meantime, however, we opened up our Masechta yesterday with the basic introduction of Temura. Torah says no exchanges, okay? No exchanges. So unlike the culture that we live in nowadays, where everything gets exchanged and everything gets returned, but when it comes to a carbon, so there simply are no exchanges. Lo tov v'rav, lo ra b'tov. And it doesn't matter if I'm going from good to bad or bad to good, there simply is not going to be any exchanges of a carbon. Once an animal is infused with Kedushas Aguf, so then you cannot exchange it. And then if you do, v'hayahu usmura so yakodesh, it and the original animal and the animal that you look to substitute it with, so they're both going to have Kedusha. And it doesn't matter whether you wanted to exchange it. It doesn't matter whether you wanted either swap it out or even just simply broadcast the Kedusha to something else. In either event, the original animal and the substitute animal are both going to have Kedusha. And this Masechta is dedicated to the discussion of what are the qualities of this and I'm going to use this pun often, and you'll love it or you'll hate it, either one. What becomes of this carbon copy? Meaning, so now I have this animal now that is going to be a replica of the original carbon. So what becomes of it? What's the nature of it? What are the dynamics of this carbon? That's going to be explored throughout a Masechta. Yesterday, we opened up the discussion with a really simple question of who can affect Temura. And the Mishnah said men and women can affect Temura. And but the Mishnah opens up with the word Hakol. Who's the word? What's Hakol coming to include? So yesterday it was one simple proposal. Unlike the beginning of Chulin, where we also start off with the word Hakol Shochtin, and there we had a litany of opinions of who is it coming to include. Over here in our Masechta, it's really a modest proposal. The Yarish, somebody who inherits his father's carbon. His father died, leaving a carbon. So under most circumstances, the carbon is going to be offered. Under some circumstances, the carbon is not to be offered. But under most, it can. So can the Yoresh, can the one who inherits this carbon, so can he affect Temura with this animal? And it really, the Gemara doesn't phrase the question in this manner, but easily one can imagine that what's behind the question is, how much do you stand in for your father vis-a-vis this carbon? How much are you basically just passing along a baton and now been given this carbon, and now you are deemed somewhat the owner? Again, the Gemara doesn't say it that way. The Gemara bases it on drushas and how we learn out from Tchilas Hektesh to Sof Hektesh. The Gemara's explanation is a more technical explanation. But anyway, that's who we're coming to include in the Mishnah. As we pointed out yesterday, not everyone agrees to this. It's a machlokchin Rameir and Rav Yehuda. Rameir is of the opinion that a Yorish can do smicha, a Yorish can affect Temura. Rav Yehuda disagrees. So in proposing this pshat in the Mishnah, the Gemara acknowledged yesterday that it only will work for Rav Meir and it will not work for Rav Yehuda. The Gemara did not ask the question yesterday, according to Rav Yehuda, what is the Mishnah coming to include? Because obviously it's not coming to include a Yoresh. Okay, didn't ask that question yesterday. I don't think the Gemara is going to be asking that question, but it's a fair question to ask. We take us right where we leave off yesterday, and that is the questions of the Gemara, can a minor affect Temura? Now, can a minor affect Temura? A minor can't do anything, for the most part, in Halacha. But in other words, we're talking about a muflas amuchlish. So someone who is a boy 12 years of age and above who can make something hektish, can affect a neder and make something hektish, so can he also affect Temura as well? And what is that Gemara? What's the question predicated on? So here the Gemara explained it beautifully. It's really going to be predicated on what is Temura? Is Temura just simply an act of making something hektish, or is it a lav in the Torah? Is it more character? It's really both, meaning you're doing both things. You're creating hektish and you're violating a lav in the Torah. But of those two, which is more of the characteristic of Temura? So if it's more just making a Hekdesh, so then a Muflis HaMachliish, our 12-and-a-half-year-old, can affect Temura. If it's more characterized by the Lav, well, we know that when you're under Bar Mitzvah age, you're Lav Bar Onshin. You're simply not subject to punishment, and so therefore you're not going to be able to affect Temura. So this was a question the Gemara opened up yesterday and didn't resolve that question. Similarly, what about a guy? Can a guy affect Temura? Now, a guy can make a carbon. A guy can affect a carbon. He can be makdish an animal. A guy can bring carbonos. Again, not all types of carbonos. Just nedarim, just nedavos. Olos, perhaps shlamim, that's debatable. But a guy can make a carbon. Can a guy make a Temura? And the Gemara also opened up this question and left this question open-ended as well. And basically, it's more or less the same question. We're going to start right at this point of the Gemara that we left off yesterday. I'm going back a couple of lines. Ove kochav emau shiyamir. So in the Gemara in Beis Amud Beis, it's about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. So can a guy affect Temura? Mi amart mid akdushe makdish tanya ish ish ma tamalomar ish ish larabos es ovdi kochav she nojim nadarim nadavos ki Yisrael. So on one hand, they can make a karban. So therefore, imure nami meimer. So therefore, they could affect Temura, because again, it's the same question that we asked previously. Is Temura more, from a characteristic standpoint, just affecting a carbon? So we know they could do it, so they could do Temura. On the other hand, odoma kemendolo asilichla onshin ki avit Temura lo kadusha. On the other hand, there's no onish as it relates to a guy, meaning they're not nichlal, they're not included in onshin, and maybe Temura is more characterized by the fact that it's a lav, and more that it is being makdish an animal, which it is, it's also a lav, and obviously the lavim do not include non-Jews. Non-Jews are not subject to the lavim in the Torah. Some of them they are included in, but that's the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach. This, of course, not being one of them. But this is not a lav in the Torah, and therefore they're not going to be subject to being able to make Temura, because it really is characterized by the lav. So this is, again, the same type of question that we asked at the end of yesterday, Amarava, Tashma. But this question, the Gemara, however, is going to dive into, because the Gemara has a Braisa. And so let's dive in. Detailing the Gemara quotes the following Braisa, Kachi of Dikochavim. So when I have a Kachi of Dikochavim, now, literally the word Kachi could mean either Kachi Mizbeach or Kachi Bedek Abayis. As we will see in just a moment, it sounds like we're talking about Kachi Mizbeach. So, Kachi of Dikochavim, if I have a carbon that was set aside by a guy, so lo nanin, so lichatchila one is not allowed to get benefit from such a carbon. Velo mawalin, but it's not subject to mi'ila. Mi'ila, which we're going to be spending a mesechta discussing, is the misuse, the misappropriation of either bedek habayis product or a carbon. So the carbon set aside by the guy is not subject to mi'ila, for reasons which we're going to articulate why in just a moment. Ein chayev l'mishim pikol nos v'tamei. It is not going to be subject to the major disqualifications of a standard carbon. A standard carbon is subject to pigol, that is having a thought while shechting the animal or doing one of the four main avodas, that you're going to be eating it chutz lizmano, or could also be chutz l'mkomo as well. Nos are leaving a carbon beyond its allotted time. Tameh, a carbon is subject to tuma. So a carbon of a goy is not going to be subject to these kinds of disqualifications. Now, it could mean that it's not subject to the onshim, to the punishments of these disqualifications. In other words, if someone were to consume an animal that is a carbon that is subject to pikul nos v'tamei, he's going to be subject to kares. And what the braisa can mean is that he's not going to be subject to kares, although the disqualifications will take effect. Or the gemara could also just simply mean not subject to disqualifications. In any event, ein osin temura, it cannot affect a temura. The ein mevi'in, skip the word aleihem, ein mevi'im nesachim. And you do not bring nesachim for the karbanos of al-karbanotam nesachim, but the karban requires nesachim. In other words, as Rashi explains over here, that sounds a little bit confusing, right? They don't bring nesachim, but the karban requires nesachim. And Rashi explains, based on the Gemara Shkalim, we don't accept nesachim from them. We'll supply the nesachim, the libations that come together with the karban, but they themselves do not bring nesachim. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. So this is all the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that we just recorded. Am Rabbi Yossi b'kulan aniro lahachmir. And Rabbi Yossi says that it relates to everything we just discussed. I think we should be machmir, meaning that everything that we said a goy's carbon does not do, so according to Rabbi Yossi, it does. It is subject to mi'ila. It's subject to pigel noster and tame. It can affect a temura. As far as the nesachim is concerned, sounds like he's pretty much on par with that of Rabbi Shimon. Anyway, Rav Yossi simply disagrees with Rabbi Shimon. And basically, according to Rav Yossi, it is a it behaves like a regular carbon with all the rules, regulations, and disqualifications of a regular carbon. Now, Bemedvar Mamorim, now as Rashi points out over here, and it will become clear in the Gemara, this is going back to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, this Bamedvar Mamor. Bamedvar Mamor, because she misbeach of a bekeche berekabai smolam behem. That the only thing that is not subject to Me'ilah, meaning again, we're going back to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, is only when we're talking about a carbon. But when we're talking about Bedekah Bayis that was set aside by a guy, so it is going to be subject to Me'ilah. Right? If you think about it, it's really a bit of an oddity. Meaning, according to Rabbi Shimon, when a guy sets up a carbon to be brought on the Mizbeach, so that carbon is going to have Kedusha as a guf, but it doesn't behave like a regular carbon, meaning it's not going to be subject to Me'ilah, it's not going to be subject to pickle notes of a tummy. However, according to Rabbi Shimon, if a guy were to set up, not set up, but dedicate something to Bedek HaBayis use, so then it's going to behave like a regular Bedek HaBayis, property of Bedek HaBayis, subject to Me'ilah. So according to Rabbi Shimon, the higher level Kedusha of a guy will not have pickle notes of a tummy and be subject to Me'ilah, while meanwhile, the lesser Kedusha that is dedicated by a guy will be subject to Me'ilah. Okay, if you think about it, it's a little bit confusing, but anyway. Ketani Mihas. After having gone through the Braisa, what has become very clear from the Braisa? Ein Osin Tumura. That according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, you cannot affect Tumura with the carbon of a guy. Verami Barchama Behektish of a Kocham Leiskapir. Ove Kochamim Lokami Baile. So the Gemara says, look, this Braisa perhaps has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Now, I know the Braisa sounds like we cannot affect Tamura with the carbon of a guy, but the Gemara says, okay, but that wasn't even our question. Meaning, the carbon of a guy could be that it's not subject to Tamura, meaning, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not subject to Tamura. But we're discussing whether or not a guy can affect Tamura in a situation where you and I would be able to do so. Meaning the Braisa could just simply be a description of the carbon set aside by a guy, fundamentally different, not subject to Tamura, and fine. But that's not our question. Our question is whether or not a carbon, a quote-unquote normal carbon, can a guy affect Tamura on it? And the Gemara goes and amplifies the point. So, Rami Barchama, I'm sorry, Behiktish of a kocham liskaper of a kocham lo kami baile. When the guy set aside the carbon, and now we're asking the question, can it affect Tamura? Rami Bar Chama was never bothered by the question. So when a guy was makdish a carbon to sponsor a Jew's obligation, meaning that a Jew and non-Jew have a good relationship, the Jew now requires a carbon, and the non-Jew comes over and says, you know what, I'm sponsoring it. So now, who's the miskaper? Who's receiving the kapara for such a carbon? The Jew. So that means that this is now a Jew's carbon. Yes, sponsored by a guy, but this is going to be a Jew's carbon. So basam makdish as linen, basam miskaper as linen. So now the Gemara thinks that what the question is as follows. In terms of Tamura, who can affect Tamura? When you have a situation where we're splitting the carbon between who paid for it versus who's benefiting from it, so the question is, who can affect Tamura? The Gemara says, that's not a question. We know the answer to that. So Tishalei mid de Rabbi Abba, Dam Rabbi Abba, Am Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara has a statement by Rabbi Yochanan, Am Makdish, Mosif Chomish. When we have a scenario in which I have one person sponsoring the carbon and another person who is receiving the benefit of the carbon, so in terms of who's considered the owner vis-a-vis Pigeon. Now Rashi offers a couple of explanations. I'll limit myself just to Rashi's first pshat, which is as follows. Let's say the carbon got a blemish. And after the carbon receiving a blemish, now the owner wants to redeem it. We know the halach is, we discussed this in Erchin multiple times, that when an owner comes to redeem something, so he has to not only pay its value, but add on another 25%, that's called chomish. So, who is considered the owner vis-a-vis this carbon? The one who is paid for it, or the one who it is benefiting for? The one who is being the miskaper? So over here, so Rav Yochanan says it's very simple. Hamakdish mosif chomish. The one who pays for it pays the chomish. And number two, miskaper osa tamura. And who is the one who is able to affect tamura with this carbon? The one who is receiving the kapara. Fine. And number three, v'hatar mishalo al shel chaver tovas an ashalo. And let's say that I decide that, you know what, we've been neighbors for a long time. You've been farming for a long time. I've been farming for a long time. You know what? I'm going to take care of your trumas and maestros. I will take my own grain and be mafresh trumas amaisos on my own grain onto your grain. And I'll relieve you of the responsibility of having to take off trumas amaisos. Perfect, I could do that, right? I could be torim al chavero. Who gets the tovas hanah? So is it the one who is actually taking off the trumas amaisos? Or is it the one who is taking off on behalf of? And here again, it's very simple. It's the one who's taking off the trumas amaisos. He's the one who gets the tovas hanah. He gets us to decide which kohen it goes to. Okay, so these are three statements that are made by Rav Yochanan regarding sponsorship opportunities and who is considered the quote-unquote owner. Or who are the halachas, it's not best, the best way to say it. Who are these halachas relevant for? In terms of being podeh and adding the chomesh, the one who paid for it. In terms of tamura, the one who's receiving the kapara. In terms of truma and tovas hanah, the one who is actually being mafresh or truma samaisos. Anyway, it is super clear that in tamura, the one who's receiving the kapara, he can affect the tamura. So, question now is on the table. What was our original question regarding the goy? Can the goy affect tamura, yes or no? Now, if it's the goy's karban that he himself set aside for himself, so that's a machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says he can't affect tamura, but that really speaks to the quality of the karban. It is not a quote-unquote standard karban, so therefore it can't affect tamura. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Fine. So that's one issue which Remy Bar Chama wasn't even entertaining that question. The question on the table now is where the guy is sponsoring the carbon on behalf of a Jew. Okay, so but the Gemara says, but wait one second. Didn't we just clarify that when one person sponsors and the other person is benefiting from that sponsorship, it is the miskaper, the one who's receiving kapar, so he can affect tamura. So over here, if the non-Jew is paying for it, so what difference does it make? Over here, however, it's the Jew who's able to affect tamura, and he's a Jew. So once again, what is this question, Rami Bar Chama, on what case is it going on? The Gemara says, I'll tell you what, even after having learned Rav Yochanan, that we just learned at the bottom of the previous summit, I'm still asking the question. Rav Yochanan was talking about a classic scenario where a Jew sponsored the carbon for another Jew. There, the sponsor is a Jew and he himself could affect Tamura. The miskaper, the one who's receiving kapara, is a Jew and he can affect Tamura. So over here, we're both can affect Tamura. Now the question is, which one is given the right and the power to affect Tamura? So we're saying the miskaper, not the noder, not the one who's actually paying for it. Fine. But over there, at least both people are Jewish and both people have the power to affect Tamura. Masha'inkin over here, where the sponsor is a non-Jew, so maybe it could very well be that because the sponsor of this carbon is a non-Jew, so maybe no tamura can be affected with this. Why? Because the non-Jew himself is not subject to the onshim, and so maybe this case is going to be different than the case of Rav Yochanan. And that's why Rami Bar Chama was left with a question over here, and he leaves this question unresolved. Amar Mar.
Why is that different? Like him giving you a matuna, that the guy is giving him a ton of coin.
But the coin,
so it's mine now. So what's the question?
No, it's not yours. The guy is actually the one who is being makdish the animal. He is the one who is not only, he's not just giving you money, he's being makdish the animal.
So he still has a tfisa on the
Rami Bar Chama is suggesting, he's suggesting that because he's the one who is being makdish the animal, so therefore the carbon lacks a certain quality about it that will not allow for tamur to take effect from this animal. I don't know. Amar. Okay, so we are now going to go back to the Brice of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. We quoted the Brice of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. We are now going to go back and just do our classic analysis of the Brice. So, Kache ovdi kochav lo nenem v'lo amolin. Lo nenem midrabanan. So as I explained the brisa, but you know I prepared the Gemara. So lo nenem means that you're not allowed to benefit from it on a rabbinic level, but v'lo amolin. But it's not subject to meila according to Rabbi Shimon. Midaraisa my time midichsiv nefesh kisimol mal v'chata b'shkaga. So the Gemara says, and we know this based on the following. It's going to be a lot of drushas. So one, we quote the pasuk regarding Me'ilah. The Torah says in Parshas Vayikra, at the end of Parshas Vayikra, that nefesh kisimol mal v'chata b'shkaga, that if a person subjects himself to the Me'ilah prohibition. Fine, that's misusing a carbon for your own personal use. V'yalfin cheichei mitruma. Now we have Gzeir Shava connecting that Parsha Me'ilah to that of Truma. Over Truma k'siv b'nei Yisrov lo ovdei kochavim by Truma, we know that the mitzvah of Truma is limited only to Jews, not to non-Jews. So because of the Gzeir Shava, so therefore Me'ilah only applies to Jew, not to non-Jew. Now we move ahead to the next part of Rabbi Shimon's position, not subject to the disqualifications of pickle nose of a tame. So regarding the Isser of Tumah, when a carbon becomes tame, and that is the pasuk regarding Tumah. You'll note in that pasuk, v'yalef nosar chilul chilami Tumah, that we have the word mechalel. We also have it by nosar as well, linking nosar and Tumah. Dichsiv gabi Tumah b'nei Yisrael v'lo yichalu, ksiv gabi nosar v'ochlav avano yisah ki etz kodesh Hashem chilel. Fine. So the Gzeres Shava now is linking together Tumah and nosar. V'yalef pigol avano avon mi nosar. And we have the Gzeres Shava of Avon linking Pigol and Osar. Dichsiv gabi Pigol va'nefesh ochalas mimeno avana tisa. Uksiv gabi Nosar va'ochlav avana yisa. Ki es kodesh Hashem chilel. Fine. So we have Gzeres Shavas now abound, making a chain link between these three disqualifications. V'kulu b'nei Yisrael v'lo avdi kochavim. And so by all these, they are limited only to b'nei Yisrael, not to non-Jews. If you note the psukim that we quoted, you keep seeing b'nei Yisrael, meaning that the limitation of these disqualifications are only to b'nei Yisrael and not to a non-Jew. V'enos and Tamura. And finally, you cannot affect Tamura. This is, again, all still the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. You cannot affect Tamura with a carbon of a guy. D'chsiv lo yichlofen v'lo yamir v'ksiv b'reishinyan d'abeyol b'nei Yisrael. So ish ki afli neder be'erkecha. The Gemara is going to arrive at this conclusion in one of two manners. One, perichav zayin vayikra, meaning that's where we've been sitting on for the last month and a half. So in the beginning of the perik, it's all about erchin. The perik opens up with the words b'nei Yisrael, and as you get to the end of the perik, you see tamura. So therefore, tamura is still in this parsha of things that are only applying to b'nei Yisrael, not to non-Jews. Fine. That's one way to arrive at the conclusion. The Gemara arrives at it a second way. So if you look at the psukim at the end of Perichav Zayin, you're going to see that Tamur is connected to Maiser Behema. Maiser Behema is connected to Maiser Dagan. The Torah makes a hekesh linking all three of these ideas together. V'gabe Maiser Dagan k'siv ki es Maiser b'nei Yisrael she'erim l'Hashem b'nei Yisrael v'lo avdi kochavim. Now Maiser Dagan only is limited to b'nei Yisrael, not to the avdi kochavim. And so now that's also going to be true by Maiser Behema. That's now going to be true by Tamura. So that's another way to arrive at the same conclusion. So the Gemara gives us actually two avenues in terms of how to arrive at this conclusion. How do I know that they are not providing nesachim for their own carbon? Okay, so it's a pasuk in Parsha Shlach. Where am I going to find the Parsha of Nesachim in the Torah? So it's in Parsha Shlach. After Chet Hamaraglim, so the thing that follows, the mitzvah that follows, is the mitzvah of Nesachim, and it opens up with the word Ezrach. Ezrach is a citizen. Only the Jews bring Nesachim. Non-Jews can bring a carbon, but they don't bring Nesachim. Now, Yachol Oseel Osar Tenua Nesachim Tamalam Rekacha. So I would say, okay, fine, so if they're not required to Nesachim, so therefore the carbon doesn't require Nesachim. Nope, Kacha. Kacha tells us that there's a standard form for every carbon. Every carbon is going to require Nesachim. So it's a little bit confusing. So on one hand, they're excluded from bringing Nesachim. On the other hand, the carbon is going to require Nesachim. And the answer is, I said it already, I quoted the Gemara Shkalim, we supply the Nesachim for the carbon. Okay, so this has all been the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara just basically went through every drasha that arrived at that conclusion. Amar Rav Yossi, now we know, move on to the second half of the brisa. What about the opinion of Rav Yossi? Ra'ani b'kul l'achmir. So by all of them, he says that we're going to be machmir. My time l'Hashem k'siv behu. We have the word bay, okay, small emendation, corrected to behu. Anyway, it says the word l'Hashem. Meaning to say that once we set aside this carbon is going to be l'Hashem. Meaning it's going to match all the qualifications of a standard carbon. Fine. And that's why Rabbi Yossi disagrees and says that once a guy sets up a carbon, it behaves like a regular carbon. Now we move on to the next part of the Braisa. Now, as I pointed out already, this next part of the Braisa is going back on Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, who says that if a guy were to set up a carbon, it does not have the full quality of a carbon. Again, it's not subject to Me'ila, not subject to Pigel Nosar V'Tameh, can't affect Tamura, but that's only by Kachay Mizbeach. But if it's Bedek Habayis, so then it will be subject to Me'ila. My time is the Chigamina Me'ila Chet Chet Mitruma, Dumi Detruma. Because even though we learned according to Rabbi Shimon that there is Gzera Shava limiting Me'ila, but that's only based on the fact that we linked it to Truma. Now, what is truma? Truma is kedushas aguf. It's not kedushas damim. Truma de kadosh kedushas aguf. Kedushas bedek abayis. Kedushas damim lo. So that means that the limitation of meila, according to Rabbi Shimon, is only for something that has kedushas aguf, i.e., a carbon. But if it's something which is kachi bedek abayis, which is not kedushas aguf, but rather kedushas damim, so it's not going to be limited. And therefore, if a guy said it were to designate something as kachi bedek abayis, it will be subject to meila. Okay, ad kan. Okay, that takes us to the end of that discussion. We quoted the Braisa. You know, the Gemara will never miss an opportunity of giving us all the drushas that go behind the Braisa. I'm Rav Yehuda Amarav, and here we go. Our discussion now that's going to take us for the rest of today's daf is the following, and that is that you're going to get Malkus for affecting Temura. And that's a little bit strange because it's not an action. It's a verbalization. You simply vocalize and you say that I want to give this instead of this. So that is an Isser in the Torah. One is not allowed to affect Temura. And the Mishnah tells us that if you do so, Sofeg es ha'arba'im. You're going to be subject to Malkus. And you're going to be subject to Malkus. It's not an action. And one of the most basic rules regarding when a person is going to get Malkus, it has to be a lav she yesh b'maisa. It has to be a negative prohibition that has an action. Like eating treif, for example. That's a lav in the Torah. Obviously, it requires an action in order to violate the lav. So if it's a lav she'ein b'maisa, you're not going to get malchus. Now, that's the rule. Now, with every rule, of course, we know there are exceptions. And so maybe we can argue that Temur is one of those exceptions. Not only can we argue, we're about to argue it right now. I'm Rav Yehuda Amarav, kol ta'aseh b'Torah, aseh b'masa, chayev. Lo aseh b'maisa, pater. So we start off with a statement by Rav, and that is that when we have a lo sa'aseh in the Torah, if you do an action, so then you're going to be chayev. If you don't do an action, you're going to be pater. Now again, chiv and pater over here is only going on the malchus. Obviously, they're both lo sases, whether there's an action or an inaction. Obviously, you can't do both. The Torah prohibits both activities. It just simply means that the one that's going to be subject to malchus is only the one that has an action with it. But if it has an inaction, if it's just a lav through an inactivity, so then it's not going to get malchus. And we assume throughout this entire discussion that if something is just requiring speech, speech is not considered an action. So the Gemara says, "Uklalahu d'lav shem b'maisa patavare meimer d'lav shem b'maisa hu." V'laki did not lefisha ein rasha lahamir l'shem heimer mumar b'sofek zar ba'im. So the Gemara, the first opening question of the Gemara is going to be Temura. How can you tell me that lav shem b'maisa you're not going to get malchus? Temura is a lav shem b'maisa, and you are going to get malchus. And the Gemara says, "I'm confused." So I'm lecharav hamani Rabbi Yehuda he damar lav shem b'maisa lokin alav. So the Gemara says, "Okay, well, this rule of Rabbi Yehuda Amarav is not agreed to by everybody. There are some Tanaim who are of the opinion that you are going to get Malkus, even for Lav Shem B'maisa, notably Rav Yehuda, and maybe our Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda." To which the Gemara says, wait one second, do you remember yesterday's daf? Yesterday's daf. Okay? So, Umim, Matzis Mukhmas Lamasinsk, Rav Yehuda, Vaha Ukimta Lareshad Loka Rav Yehuda, Diktani Hakol Mamirin Hakol Asuya Mai Lasuya Yoresh, Udaloka Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, just go back to yesterday's daf, remember, we said the Hakol of our Mishnah is coming to include the Yoresh. But that's only if I subscribe to Reb Meir, who says that a Yorish can affect Temura. But Reb Yehuda says that a Yorish cannot affect Temura, so therefore our Mishnah is not going like Reb Yehuda. So how can you propose that on the issue of Lav She'ein B'maisa, oh, our Mishnah is going like Reb Yehuda, but when it comes to the Hakol of our Mishnah, it's not going like Reb Yehuda. So Hai Tana Sava La Kavasa Bechada, the Lav She'ein B'maisa Lokin Alav, Upalaga Le Bechada, the Ilu Reb Yehuda Sava, Yorish and a Somech Yorish and a Meimer, Vatani Didan Sava Yorish Somech Yorish Meimer. So the Gemara's first response is, okay, our Mishnah on one issue is going like Rabbi Yehuda, and another issue is not going like Rabbi Yehuda. On the issue of Yaresh, our Mishnah is not following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. On the issue of Lav Shem B'maisa, our Mishnah is following like Rabbi Yehuda. That is one approach of the Gemara. Amar of Adi Bar Avin, Amar of Amran, Amar of Yitzhak, Amar of Yochanan, Mishum, Rav Yosi Aglili. The Gemara now makes the following statement, going all the way back as a Masorah to Rav Yosi Aglili. Lo, I'm sorry. Kol lo sasa shepatora asa b'maisa loke lo asa b'maisa pater. So basically, it's going to be the same rule that we just learned in the name of Yehuda Merav. Only those lavim that have an action, you're going to get malchus for. The lavim that do not have an action, you're not going to receive malchus for. Chutz mi nishbar umeimar umekal chaver b'shem afa pish lo asa b'maisa chayev. With three notable exceptions. One, shvua. We're going to clarify exactly which shvua we're talking about, but that's one. Two, Temura, affecting Temura. It's a lav shem b'maisa, and you're going to get malchus. And three, mekal chaver b'shem. If you cursed your friend using Shem Hashem, So that also is going to get malchus, even though that's not an action, it's just a verbalization. Now, Mishum Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Amar Af Amakdim, Shuma Libikurim. And Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina adds one more to the list, and that is going out of order in terms of your Hafrasha. Once you once your Paris of Chayiv and Shumas and Maishas, you must go in the correct order. First you take off Bikurim, then you take off Truma Gedola, then Maaser Rishon, then Maaser Sheni. It must be done in proper order. If done out of order, so according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, you are going to be subject to Malkus. We're going to discuss that in greater detail later on.
Is Nosar also an inaction?
Nosar is going to come up in the Gemara. Okay, so that topic is coming up. Whenever the Gemara talks about Lav Shem Bamaisa, you can bank on the fact that Nosar will be part of the discussion. Okay, Nishba, Minalan. How do I know that making a Shvuah, well, when the Gemara is not asking as to whether or not is a Lav Shem Bamaisa, Lav Shem Bamaisa, it's a Lav Shem Bamaisa. It's just simply verbalization. Making a false Shvuah. So Nishba Minalan, how do I know that you're going to get Malkus? Meaning it's now one of the three exceptions, according to Rav Yossi Aglili. So how do we know going to get Malkus for making a Shvuah? So Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Amar Kra, Ki Lo Yinakes Hashem, Asher Yisa Ishmo Lashav. So the Gemara quotes from the Aseret HaDibros that if a person makes a Shvuah Shav, Ki Lo Yinakes Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu does not cleanse such an individual, Asher Yisa Ishmo Lashav, anyone who says Hashem's name in vain. Now, Beis Shammai, sorry. That was a bubble speaking. Beis Din Shammai, sorry about that. Beis Din Shammala ain menakenoso, ava Beis Din Shammata malkenoso, or menakenoso. So the Gemara now makes a diuk in the pasuk. The pasuk indicates that only the Eloyinaka Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does not do the nikui, he does not do the cleansing. Meaning, who's the cleansing left up to? It's up to us to do the cleansing. Meaning, we have to provide the kapara. By the way, it sounds like from our Gemara pretty clear that the purpose of Malkus is to provide kapara. That in of itself is its own discussion in terms of what is accomplished by Malkus. Meaning, aside from the fact that the Torah says to do it, but what are we looking to accomplish in doing so? It sounds pretty clear from our Gemara that the purpose of Malkus is nikui, is a cleansing, it's a kapara. Anyway, so the pasuk says that lo yinaka Hashem, that Hashem does not do the nikui, but rather we do it. Aval beis din shomata malkenoso menakenoso. Amra papa la abaye ve'ema. So our papa challenges, how do I know? How do I know that that's correct? Ve'ema lo te'avale nikios klal. Maybe it just simply means that there is no kapara, meaning that the avera of saying Shem Hashem l'shav, saying God's name in vain, is such a serious avera that there's mamish no kapara. Amra le imken lechto krala yinake v'lishtok. Hashem lamali, based in Shomalahu Dein Menakenoso, based in Shomata Malkenu Menakenoso. So the Gemara says, if that was really the intent of the pasuk, the Torah would just simply say Kilo Yinakeh, period. It says Kilo Yinakeh Hashem. It means the diuk is a very good diuk. It means that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't provide the nikui. We are expected to provide the nikui, i.e., we're the ones who give Malkus. Ashkechan Shvu Hashav. Okay, so that pasuk, which is the third dibra of the Aseret HaDibros, so that pasuk is talking about Shvu Hashav, using God's name in vain. Now, what's an example of using God's name in vain? So let's say that you swear to the fact of something that is patently untrue. This table over here, right? So I'm just saying this by example. So the person makes a shvua that's made out of metal. Okay, and we're all looking at it, and we all know it's not true. So that's a shvua shav. And you use Shem Hashem in making that shvua. So that is a violation of shvua shav. And for that, you're going to get malchus. What about shvua sheker? Shvuah Sheker is where it's not apparently incorrect, but based on information you know, it happens to be a false Shvuah. This is what's called in Halacha a Shvuah Sheker. So Shvuah Sheker minalan Rabbi Yochanan didei amar l'shav shnei pa'amim. It says in the pasuk l'shav two times. Imeno in l'shvuah shav teneo in l'shvuah sheker deloke. So even for a Shvuah Sheker, you're going to get malchus. Now the Gemara says, let's clarify this point. Maskif la Rabbi Abahu Shvuah Sheker Hechidami. What exactly is the example? So I neima da amr shalo ochel v'ochel. So hasamu maisa of it. Let's say a person makes a shvuah, I'm not going to eat that bread, and then he goes ahead and eats that bread. So what are you telling me that that's an avera, a lav with no action? By definition, it required action. He had to pick up the bread and eat it. So ve'ela da amr shalo ochel v'lo achal. So the Gemara says, okay, how about this? How about he made a shvuah that he's going to eat it, and then he refrains from doing so? So the Gemara says, you're not going to get malchus for that. Hahu milaki. The ha itmar shvush ochal kikazer hayom va'avar hayom v'lo achal. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, army ein loke. Now everyone's in agreement. You're not going to get malchus for such a scenario. Where we disagree is why. Why are you not going to get malchus? Rabbi Yochanan, army ein loke. The lav shem b'maisa who v'chol lav shem b'maisa ein loke na lav. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, the reason why you're not going to get malchus is because it's a lav shem b'maisa. It's an inaction, and you're not going to get malchus for an inaction. And Reish Lakish, I'm going to look at Mishum to have a lay hasra safik, the chol hasra safik ain't looking to love. And according to Reish Lakish, you're not going to get malchus because the warning that comes is not a definitive warning. Meaning that when the person who gives you warning warns you, you don't know for sure, he doesn't know for sure that you're going to be in violation of the Avera. Because consider, you have the whole day, let's say you give yourself a deadline, you have the whole day to eat the bread. And he says, you know, if you don't eat that bread, you're going to be in violation of your Avera. And he looks back at you and he looks at his watch and he says, I got 6 hours. Don't worry. So in other words, because immediately after the warning, you don't know if a violation is going to occur. This is in halacha what's called hasra safek. And what Reish Lakish is arguing is that hasra safek is not a valid hasra. And so therefore, on a technical note, he's not going to get an onish. Now, yes, it's true. The Rishonim deal with the question of, you know, you can give the hasra right before the deadline. But in other words, but that requires pinpoint accuracy, and the chances of you timing yourself perfectly to go right before up against the deadline is really unlikely, and more than not, it'll be a case of Asra Safek. So, in the case where I make a Shvua Sheker for a future event, you're not going to get Malkus. Either because I swear I'm going to eat this bread and I don't eat it, it's a Lav Shem B'maisa. Sorry. Yeah. It's a Lav Shem B'maisa. Or I make a Shvua that I'm going to eat it, and I decide not to eat it, I messed it up just a little bit. If I made a shvua that I'm not going to eat it and I eat it, so of course you're going to get malchus because it's a lav sheyesh b'maisa. If I make a shvua that I am going to eat it and opt not to eat it, so either it's a lav sheyesh b'maisa or the hasra, it's a failure in the hasra, it's a hasra suffix. In any event, the Gemara now points out, so you want to tell me that we're talking about a case of, we're coming to include a separate shvua, meaning shvua shav, we already know, you're going to get malchus. It's a lav shem b'maisa, you're going to get malchus, fine. And you also want to include shvua sheker as well, but we haven't successfully done so. Because for the future shvuas, either it's a lav sheyesh b'maisa, or it's a lav shem b'maisa, or it's a failure of the hasra. In any event, we have not successfully included a shvua sheker. So Ella Amar Rabbi Abaute Bachilasi Ba'achalti V'lo Achalti. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. So the Shvua Sheker is on Sha'avar. It's going on something that happened in the past, where somebody asked you, did you eat the bread? And then I make a Shvua, and I said, yes, I ate it, and meanwhile I didn't. Or I make a Shvua that I didn't eat it, and meanwhile I did. So in those examples, those are two very good examples of the Isser is on the Shvua that you make, because it's a Shvua Sheker. And it's a lav shem b'maisa. Okay. Umayshna dekam marba achalti v'lo achalti me'ochel. Marba achalti v'lo achalti me'ochel v'lo achel. The Gemara says, okay. So we know that we're coming to include a version of a shvua sheker. And now we're coming to include a shvua that's made in the past as opposed to the future. Why are we more comfortable including the shvua sheker l'sha'avar and not the shvua sheker l'asid? So the Gemara says, "Amarava beferish ripas haTorah sheker doma l'shav, mashav l'shaver, av sheker l'shaver." So the Gemara says, because thematically it just fits in a lot better. Consider when we're talking about a shvua shav, what we mean is that I'm swearing that this table over here is metal. It's wood. It's clearly wood. So over here, it's based on historical reality that the table is not metal, but rather it's wood. So in other words, I'm trying to change the history of this table, the past. So when we are coming to include a type of shvua sheker, so therefore it is more apt, it is thematically more correct that we're talking about a shvua sheker l'sha'avar, not l'asid. Fine. Eisvei Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Abahu. The Gemara now quotes the following braisa: shvua shelo ochel kikar zeh. So the braisa over here deals with the following scenario: the person makes a shvua that he's not going to eat this bread. Shvua shelo ochlena. And then, just to make sure that he's certainly not going to eat the bread because he wasn't comfortable just making one shvua, he compounds and puts another shvua on top of it, and shvua shelo achlena. And again, just for now, double insurance. So he makes a shvua now for a third time that he's not going to eat this bread. V'achla, and despite his best efforts, and three shvuas compounded one on top of the other, he goes out and eats the bread. Einu chayv ala achas. So he's only going to be subject to violating one of his shvuos. Why? So this takes us back to Masechta Shvuos. This is the rule of Ein Shvua Chal Al Shvua. Once I am bound by a shvua not to do something, I cannot superimpose another shvua on top of it. Fine. So Vizui Shvuos Bitu Ishachav and Alzona Makos Valshikagaso Carbonola Viyarate. Now, the Braisa, actually it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah over here says, this is an example of a type of shvua where if you do so intentionally, you're going to be subject to Makos. And if I do so unintentionally, you're going to be subject to the carbon olaviyareid. Right? As one of the carbon olaviyareids, the fluctuating carbon, depending on your financial status. So for one of them, it is making a shvua sheker. It's not clear in the Torah whether it's talking about la'asid or whether it's talking about she'avar. You remember back in Shavuos, major machlokas amongst the Tanaim between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, whether it's talking about asid or whether it's talking about avar. Anyway, that information is necessary for us to know right now. But in the meantime, however, what the Gemara now is focusing on is the word zohi. Zohi lemute mai. This is a case. So lav lemute echalte v'lo echalte delalaki. So the Gemara says presumably what it means is that only for the future shvuos are you going to be subject to malchus, but not for the past shvuos. So no, the Gemara says no, that's not what it means. So zuhi de al shigas o maisi karban aval achalte v'lo achalte lo maisi karban. So the Gemara says no, the diak is not going on the malchus section. The diak is going on the karban, meaning when am I going to bring a karban? Only when I am violating a shvuah la asid b'shogeg am I going to bring a karban. But not l'sha'avar. Umani Rabbi Shmalhi, damrei nechayv ela al ha'asid lavo. Aval milka laki. So the Gemara says that the author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Shmal. Rabbi Shmal only has a person bringing the carbon olav yared on violating a shvua la'asid, not l'sha'avar. And when the Mishnah said the word zohi, this, it was only going on the case of the carbon, not on the case of the malchus. Ema sefer. The Gemara says, okay, let's go to the next part of the Mishnah. Meaning when he violates the shvu, he's going to be subject to bring a carbon. So Amos Sefer, the Gemara says, what about the end of the Mishnah? Zoi shvu shav shechayim lazdona makos v'ashigasa pater. So the end of the Mishnah talks about this is a shvu shav in which one is going to be subject to makos and he is not going to be bringing a carbon because the carbon is only for shvu sheker. The carbon olav yared is not for violating a shvu shav. Zoi lemute mai again. What is the Zoe coming to exclude? So presumably what it means is that it's coming to exclude the case where he swore in the past that either he ate or he didn't eat, where he's not going to get Malkus. The Gemara says, low. No, that's not the deal. Zoe de al shigaso patami carbon ava achalti velo achalti maisa carbon. The Gemara says, no. What the deal is that if I made a shvur shav, so under those circumstances I don't bring a carbon, but I made a shvur sheker l'sha'avar, I am going to bring a carbon, meaning the author of that Mishnah is Umani Rabbi Kivahi, Damar Mivin Karban L'Sha'avar. So that line of the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva. So which the Gemara says, do you see what just happened? So we made a diuk in the first part of the Mishnah, and we made a diuk in the second part of the Mishnah. In the first part of the Mishnah, the diuk was, you only bring a carbon Ola V'Yored and a Shvu La'asid, like Rabbi Shmuel. On the second part of the Mishnah, we just went in the other direction. You only bring a carbon on a carbon Ola V'Yored, only on a shvula sha'avar like Rabbi Akiva, not like Rabbi Shmuel. And the Gemara is bothered. V'ahamart reisha Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara says, you just told me the beginning is going like Rabbi Shmuel. Elam idaseifa Rabbi Akiva reisha nami Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, okay, let's be consistent. The entire Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva. A person only brings a carbon olav yared on a shvula sheker l'sha'avar, not la'asid, according to the Mishnah, which is saying like Rabbi Akiva. V'reisha lav lemute echalti v'lo echalti, ela lemute ochel v'lo ochel. What the Mishnah is coming to do is to exclude the case of achalti v'lo achalti. Thank you. V'resha lav lema'ute. The resha is not coming to exclude achalti v'lo achalti, el lema'ute ochel v'lo ochel. Maishna, and the Gemara says, and how do I know that? Mishum dekai b'la'aba, memayit m'la'aba, kai b'la'aba, memayit l'sha'avar. Because if contextually the Mishnah is talking about the future, so most probably what is coming to be mamayit is a shvua that pertains to the future, not to the past. Okay, so basically when all said and done, we're going to stick to our guns. That we know that a person is going to be receiving a malchus for a shvua shav. Shvua shav is an inaction, it's just verbalization. And that does not qualify as an action in halacha, vis-a-vis malchus, and yet you're going to receive malchus. That we know for sure, it's a pasuk in the Torah. Ki lo yinakeh Hashem es asher yisa shmo l'shav. What are we coming to include? By the virtue of the fact that the Torah says Lashav two times, it comes to include also a Shavua Sheker. What kind of Shavua Sheker? So we clarified over the course of the Sugya, a Shavua Sheker Lishavar, not Lasid. Lasid, either it's an action, because I swore that I'm not going to eat, and I ate it, or it's just simply an inaction, Salav Shein Bamaisa, or it's a failure of the Hasra. In either event, the Shavua Sheker Lasid is not going to qualify for Malkus. It's only going to be the Shavua Sheker Lishavar. When I swore that I ate the bread, meanwhile I didn't. Or I swore that I didn't eat the bread, meanwhile I did. So for that, you're going to receive Malkus. So this is our first of the three exceptions. Let's just quickly run through the second and third exception. Meimar, as far as affecting Temura, Amalei Rav Yochanan Latana lo tisnei o Meimar. Mishum dibidura asamaisa. Interesting position, Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan feels the following. You're going to get Malkus for Temura. Now that's not an opinion, that's a fact. The Mishnah said you're going to get Malkus for Temura. What we're debating right now is the following. Is the Lav Sheim B'Maisa or it's the Lav Sheish B'Maisa? Now, based on the basic information that was given to us, it's a Lav Sheim B'Maisa. It's just Vibor, it's just speech. Rav Yochanan over here espouses a really interesting position. He feels that Temura is a Lav Sheish B'Maisa. Why? Because with that speech that you spoke, so it affected a change in an animal. An animal went from being a non-carbon to becoming a carbon. He feels that that is more than just speech. Speech that results in an actual change in something. So he feels that that's considered an action. So you are going to get Malkus, says Rav Yochanan, but not because it's an inaction, but because he categorizes, he puts under the category of a Lav Sheyesh B'Maisa.
Well, it's the same thing.
The shvua, it's an interesting point, Danny. The shvua is really more on you. It's an imposing a restriction on you, meaning that there's no actual change in the bread itself. The bread itself is the same bread as it was before. You are banned from eating it. Okay. Hamakalos kaver b'shem minalan, and cursing your friend using Shem Hashem. That is the third exception in which you're going to get Malkus, even though it's a lav shem b'maisa. Amr Abelazar, Amr Abiyoshi, Amakral, lo im lo sishmur. So we are looking at the Tochacha in Parshas Bechukosai. Uksiv v'hifli Hashem es makoscha hafla zu ani yodea mahu. What exactly is the hafla? Kishu amar v'hipilu ha-shofet v'hikau lefarnav v'hiyomar hafla zu malkus. So the hafla is malkus. So if you string the psukim together in Bechukosai, you see that when a person curses his friend using Shem Hashem, so one is going to be subject to malkus. Emar hafilu shvos emes. So behedjik siv shvos Hashem tiyeh ben shnehem. So the Gemara says, by making a shvua using Shem Hashem, so does that mean that if I'm using a shvua for good, i.e., somebody makes a claim against you, and now, in order to defend yourself under certain circumstances, you make a shvua. And that is a shvuas emes. And not only are you okay making that shvua, you're supposed to make that shvua. That's how you defend yourself against certain claims. For example, if it's eid echad. One witness comes in and makes a claim. The litigant has one witness with him, making a claim against you. So you make a shvua. And what are you going to do now? You're going to get malchus for that? So, Emar hani milafais chavera, aval milki laki. The Gemara over here makes a really strange suggestion. The Gemara says, well, maybe, yes, maybe the shvua is there to appease your friend. But you know, right, every action has a reaction. And so you had to make a shvua. So maybe you're going to get malchus. Right, a really unusual suggestion of the Gemara. So the Gemara says it can't be. In other words, there are clearly times in the Torah where you are warranted, you're supposed to make a shvua when you're telling the truth, when you're making a claim against you, and it can't be that the result is going to be you're going to have to get malchus. So uvishmo tishveya, how many baile lichederav damar rav gidol amarav minayin shenishban lekayimus mitzvah shenemar nishbati vakayem lishmor mishbati kecha. So the Gemara says, okay, but I could suggest that maybe the right time to make a shvua and the only time that you can make a shvua without ramifications is if you make a shvua in order to encourage yourself to do a mitzvah, right? You're a little bit lackadaisical as it relates to one particular mitzvah, and so therefore, to encourage yourself, to incentivize yourself, you make a shvua to do so. So maybe for that kind of shvua, there are not going to be ramifications. The Gemara says, no. Haksiv karachrina uvo tidbaku v'shmot tishaveya. So the Gemara says, so for the positive shvuas that one makes, either to encourage himself to do a mitzvah, or to defend himself successfully against a claim made against him, but what he's swearing to is the truth. So under those circumstances, you make the shvuah, there's not going to be any ramifications, there's not going to be malchus. However, once you make a shvuah using Shem Hashem, and you're using it not appropriately, i.e. you're cursing your friend, so then under those circumstances, you're going to get malchus. So the Gemara says, okay, how about just simply using God's name in vain? So Migar Mikalos Chaver B'Shem Mimotzi Shem Shemayim Levatala. So the Gemara says, well, if I'm cursing my friend using Hashem's name, and the Malkus is for using God's name inappropriately, so then for sure, using Shem Shemayim Levatala, you're for sure going to get Malkus for that as well. Anan Hachi Kakashil. And the Gemara says, okay, that wasn't my question. Ema Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatala Tiskele B'Malkus. The Gemara suggests the following. If I'm being Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatala, using God's name with no purpose, with no point to it, no positive production, I'm not making a bracha, I'm not davening, I'm not saying a pasuk in the Torah, I'm not defending myself against a claim where I'm right, where I'm in the right. So under those circumstances, of course you could use Hashem's name. But if I'm just uttering Shem Shemayim Levatala, so the Gemara is suggesting the following. You're going to get Malkus. Fine. But if I'm cursing my friend using Hashem's name, so that's a compound of Eira. One, I was Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatala. And two, I hurt my friend. So the Gemara says, so under those circumstances, the Gemara says, maybe Malkus wouldn't be enough. Meaning Malkus is not good enough for you. It's not going to be providing enough of a kapara. So lo mach disarmer. The Gemara says no. Dichsiv lo sikal al cheresh. So the Gemara says that we know based on the pasuk of lo sikal al cheresh that that even when you are offending somebody in using Shem Hashem, even under those circumstances, you are going to be a candidate for Malkus. Now, how exactly the drasha works, so I'll reserve that for tomorrow morning. Rashi offers two pshatim, and I will say either one or two of the pshatim of Rashi tomorrow morning. Anyway, let's quickly recap. Today we went over the Braisa. If a guy is being maktish a karban, which he is totally entitled to do, so under those circumstances, does the karban has the full status of a karban? A machlokes atanayim between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shimon says that the karban does not have the full effect of a karban. Not subject to me'ila, not subject to pigel nosa v'tame. It is a karban that's going to be offered on the mizbeach, but it's not a full-fledged karban. According to Rabbi Yossi, no, he disagrees. He says it's a full-fledged karban. What about if a guy is makdish something for bedek abayis? We have agreement. Subject to me'ila. For the first half of today's daf, we went through the various drashas that support Rabbi Yossi, that support Rabbi Shimon. We went over the back and forth. Second half of today's daf, which really starts on the bottom of Gimel and Aleph, is the discussion of Lav Shein B'Maisa. A Lav Shein B'Maisa, you're not going to get Malkus. That's the rule. What are the exceptions? So there are three, possibly a fourth, possibly subtracting one of the three. Okay, right there. We have a couple of options this morning. But to say it simply, we have three exceptions and an additional one by Rabbi Yossi. In terms of when a Lav Shein B'Maisa is subject to Malkus. The one exception is Nishba, both Shua Shav and Shua Sheker. We clarified it's Shua Sheker L'Sha'avar, not La'asid. Two is Temura, although on that Rav Yochanan disagreed. Rav Yochanan said that Temura is actually a Maisa because you're affecting a change in an item, and he feels that it's a Lav Sheyesh B'Maisa. And Makal Chaver B'Shem, cursing your friend using Shem Hashem. Really, at the core of this is Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatala. You've used God's name in vain, but you've also offended somebody in doing so. For a moment, the Gemara thought that Malkus is not good enough for you, but the Gemara concluded that no. This is another example of a person receiving Malkus, even though it's a Lav Shein B'Maisa. There is also Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina adding on, going out of order in Hafrashas Trumas HaMaisras, where you take off the Truma before you took off the Bikurim. So for that, even though it's a Lav Shein B'Maisa, you're going to receive Malkus for that. That we're going to be discussing in tomorrow's Daf.